Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Plainfield Podcast. The following message was recorded live on Sunday, March 1st at Community's Plainfield location. This week, we hear from Community Pastor John Cisniewski as we continue our series called Hero Maker. Community in Plainfield meets on Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10, and 11:30 at 24035 Riverwalk Court in Plainfield, Illinois. For more information about Community, visit us online at communitychristian.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
And I want to get started with a question, all right? And this is kind of a show of hands. Raise your hand if you consider yourself to be somebody who is pretty good at math, okay? Just go ahead, show of hands if you're pretty good at math. Okay, so maybe 20, 25% of you, if I'm just estimating. Show of hands if you would say, I have other gifts. All right, other gifts. All right. About 75, maybe 80% of us have other gifts. I kind of find myself kind of in between. I took the required math in high school and also college, but maybe you can relate to this. When I'm working on budget spreadsheet stuff and I'm crunching numbers, I still have to get out my calculator for subtraction, okay? I don't always have, you know, that sort of memorized. Multiplication, addition, really, really easy, but I sometimes mix those up and I have to use a calculator. But I want to share a story about a guy who never had a calculator because they didn't exist, and he was one of the greatest mathematicians. His name is Leonardo Fibonacci. All right, got a picture of Leonardo Fibonacci, not to be confused with Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay? Those are two very different people, okay? Very different gift sets. But Leonardo, Fibonacci, he was presented with a math problem. Now, for those of you who are good at math, you're like, you're probably already getting your pen out. You're going to write this down because I'm going to tell you the math problem. The rest of you, try to stay with me, okay? This is one of those word story problems, okay? So these are like, oh, I hate those. But here we go. Let me just read the problem so I don't get it wrong. He was asked, Leonardo, if you put a pair of rabbits in a room, and every month that pair of rabbits reproduced another pair of rabbits, and within a month each new pair of rabbits reproduced another pair of rabbits, stick with me 75%. Okay. At the end of the year, how many rabbits would you have? Now, all right, that's a word problem there. Now, if you were to ask me that question, my answer, I would say, well, it depends. It depends on how romantic a setting the room was for the rabbits to be in. Was there candlelight? Was there Barry White music? You know, reproduce, okay? But Leonardo, he wasn't worried about those variables. He really just kind of got to crunching the numbers. And at the end of 1 year, he determined that one pair of rabbits would become 466 rabbits. It's a lot of rabbits. It's hard to get rid of that many rabbits. You know, you don't have that many friends. But Fibonacci didn't stop there. At the end of 2 years, he calculated that there would be 150,000 rabbits. Now, he just extended the formula a little bit further, just another 6 months. And you know how many rabbits you get after 2 years and 6 months? 2.5 million rabbits. Okay, this is like a science fiction movie gone bad. You got to get those rabbits out of the room. It's not Sharknado, it's Rabbitnado. But you might be wondering, you know, you're here for the child dedication. You've never been to Community. You're like, why are we talking about Fibonacci's rabbits? Are you wondering that? All right, and maybe you're here for the first time. Here's why we're talking about Fibonacci's rabbits. As Christ followers, we are called to pour into the lives of others to reproduce apprentices of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. In fact, I want to read a passage of scripture, and this is pretty significant and profound. And let me just sort of put this into context. So Jesus walked and taught. He was here on the earth for 33 years. His public ministry was 3 years. After his death, after his resurrection, he made eyewitness appearances to about 500 of his disciples over a period of 40 days. And at the end of 40 days, everybody knew that he was the real deal, that he had risen from the dead. Then he was about to depart to go back to the Father in heaven. But before he leaves earth, here are the marching orders that he gives to his disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's a pretty tall order there, right? All nations, baptizing everyone, you know. And you know what we call this in the church circles? We call those words or that paragraph there the Great Commission. And that challenge wasn't just given to the Christ followers who were gathered there that day. That's a challenge to every single one of us today and in the future and in the past who consider themselves to be Christ followers. And that's one of the reasons that the series Hero Maker is so important. Okay, because you and I are called not just to be heroes, but to be hero makers. But I think this is sometimes where some of us get stuck because, you know, we wonder to ourselves, well, really, in the grand scheme of things, what is my role? Okay, or what are my gifts? Or, you know, what am I really to do? How am I to be a hero of Christ, let alone a hero maker? And don't get me wrong, I think it's good for all of us to, you know, to be a hero in Christ's eyes. But Jesus calls each and every one of us to go beyond being a hero for him to actually being a hero maker. We are intentionally called to invest in others and to make apprentices or followers of Jesus wherever we go. And throughout this series, we've challenged everyone who calls this their church home to identify one or more people that we would be investing in. And those people might be in your home under the same roof. Those people might be in your workplace or in a school setting or in your neighborhood or maybe at the fitness center where you work out. And in the first week, Tammy was our teaching pastor, and she challenged us to think. Remember, we had to point to our temples. Go ahead and do that. All right, to think like a hero, to think like a hero maker. And to think like a hero maker means that we recognize the important role that we play in encouraging and lifting other people up. That's how we think like a hero maker. And then last week, Jason was our teaching pastor, and he was talking with us about what it means to see. So point to your eyes, to see like a hero maker. And that is to see the potential in other people that they have to be an impact in this world. And he taught us that the four most important letters in the alphabet are the letter I, the letter C, the letter N, and the letter U. I see in you. I see in you potential. That's what he was talking about. But today, we're asking and answering the question, what does it really look like to live this out? So take your hand and put it over your heart. We're not going to say the pledge, but this is just a reminder. What does it look like for our hearts to beat fast for living as a hero maker? And the greatest example that we have of a hero maker is none other than Jesus himself. And when Jesus launched his public ministry here on earth, almost immediately, hundreds and thousands of people began to flock to him. They were enthralled and engrossed with his just inspirational teaching, his jaw-dropping miracles. They wanted to experience that. They came to receive his love and his grace and his acceptance. And Jesus's network quickly numbered into the thousands. And if Jesus were to have made his appearance today, he would have easily become a YouTube or a TikTok or maybe an Instagram sensation with just millions and millions of followers. He was busy and he was in demand. But here's the thing. The crowds weren't his priority. The crowds weren't his priority. In fact, when Jesus was just getting started in the world, here's what he did. And this time I want to read from the Gospel of Luke. And if you're listening in by podcast, this is the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. And gospel means the good news about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And Luke is one gospel writer, and he's recording the events of Jesus's life. And so here it is, Luke 6, 12 through 13. Here it is. So one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called the disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Okay, so Jesus very prayerfully and very intentionally chose to invest in how many? 12 from among the many hundreds, if not thousands, of his followers on that occasion. So the first thing that we learn from Jesus about being a hero maker is that Jesus selected a few. He selected a few. He didn't try to be all things to all people. He wasn't focused on the crowds necessarily, but he intentionally chose to focus on a handful, a few people. And if you're into math, and you wanted to calculate all the amount of time Jesus spent with his disciples versus the crowds, it turns out 73% of Jesus's time was spent with the 12. And in the Gospels, we record 46 events where he spent with his disciples, but only 17 when he spent with the crowds. And that's about a 3-to-1 ratio. And so here's the reality for you and I today. You know, with our fast pace, our hurried culture, you know, we end up with lots of connections that are like a mile wide, but maybe just an inch deep. And that's true for me, right? Many of us find ourselves with lots of different relationships, but no significant relationships. Maybe that's true for you. We are connected to hundreds, maybe even thousands, through social media and career networking and community involvement, but too often, we really can't point to anyone in particular that we're investing in. We can't. But if we're going to live like a hero maker, then something's going to need to change. We can't live as heroes. We've got to learn to be hero makers. We've got to do things differently. And I'm talking to myself now as much as I'm talking with the rest of us, right? And it may mean that you and I need to stop doing certain things that just sort of, you know, spreads us too thin. Jesus intentionally selected just a few. And so let me ask you, who are your few? Who have you selected? Who are you pouring and investing your life into? And it may be somebody under your roof, maybe somebody in your workplace, or in your school setting, or in your neighborhood, or maybe at the fitness center, wherever it might be. But the question is, and before we leave here today, I hope that every single one of us identifies who those few are in our lives. And once Jesus selected them, Jesus shared his life with them, with these men. In fact, here's something I noticed just this week. I was reading through the Gospel of John, and I'm going to read it for you. And chances are, because this is what's, I've read this hundreds of thousands of, not thou, but hundreds of times, okay? And it's kind of gone in one ear and out the other, and I really miss the significance of this, but I want to make sure that we don't miss the significance of this. This is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 22. Here it is. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. You're waiting for me to go on, but I'm not going to go on. Because what's significant is already right there in just that one sentence. Do you see it? He spent time with them. He spent time with them. Really? That's what's so significant? Yeah, I think that's really a big deal. It's a really big deal. See, the word for spend time in the original language that John is writing in, he was fluent in Greek, and so he's writing in Greek. And so it's the word diatribo. Can you say diatribo? And that's a compound word, dia and tribo. And dia means against, and tribo means to rub. So go like this, okay, with your hands. Just rub. Let me hear it. All right. To rub against, or a better way to say it is to rub off. It means that Jesus spent time rubbing off diatribo on his disciples. And here's how diatribo works. You know, it, like, just think like spouses, right? You spend enough time with somebody and you start to have the same interests. You start to like the same things, do the same things. You're answering each other's, you know, sentences or questions, you know, and you say the same things. That's what happens, you know? But let me give you even a broader example. And how many of you like Chick-fil-A? Show of hands. You can't go there today. Do you know why? Closed on Sunday. Right. Okay. So Chick-fil-A, you know how if somebody brings something to your table, if you're in a good mood and you're really being a Christ follower that day, you say to them, thank you. And in response, what do they say to you? My pleasure. But I was curious. And so I asked their staff and I said, you know, are you taught to are you trained to say that? And they said, no, we just kind of all do it. And a few years ago, I was at their corporate headquarters, and I had learned that this really kind of came from the top down. When Truett Cathy was the CEO, he liked that word, but he didn't think he could mandate it, so he just started saying it all the time. And his executive team picked it up, and then the management team picked it up, and when the owner-operators came into Atlanta, Georgia, they began to pick it up, and they brought it back to their stores, and their employees and their managers started saying it, and pretty soon, it wasn't a mandate, but everybody was just saying, you know, my pleasure. My pleasure. And so when John, the Apostle John, tells us that Jesus spent time with his disciples, that's not a statement about just hours or minutes or days. No, it's about doing life. It's about rubbing off. It's about diatribo. But in order for that to be possible, you have to know who your few are. And so again, let me ask you, who are your few? And are you rubbing off? Is there diatribo that's going on in that relationship? And if you haven't picked your few yet, you're probably in the majority. And when I talk to the majority, they kind of give me two reasons why they haven't yet. And the first reason they give me is they would say, well, John, I'm just not really a spiritual giant, you know, like Jesus. I really don't know the Bible, you know, like some people do. I do what I can, but I really don't think there's a whole lot in me worth rubbing off on somebody else. Now, if you're thinking that way, you're in the majority, number one, and I'm really, really glad you're here. And I hope you'll continue to come back and to come back and to come back so that, you know, gradually we can just kind of rub off on you. And so that you will begin to know this. See, this was true for me. When I didn't go to church growing up, and so it was in college, and it was my mother-in-law who first started kind of quoting some scripture from the Bible to me and sharing the good news about Jesus. But I wanted to follow Jesus, and I chose to, but I felt like I would never, ever know the Bible. And I began to listen to other people who knew the Bible and other Christ followers, and I'm like, you guys are so smart. I don't think I could ever, ever know the Bible like that. Well, guess what? You know, we relocated back here to the Chicago suburbs. We started coming to Community Christian Church. We got involved in a small group. And you know what that small group did for us? Diatribo. They started rubbing off on us. And 1 year, we started to learn more, and 2 years, and 3 years. And then the leader of the group asked me to be her apprentice. And I'm like, I can't be an apprentice. I don't know all this stuff, you know. And she's like, it's gonna be okay. You know, here's the process, and I'm gonna work with you, and I'm gonna train you. And she just began to rub off on me. And then in time, you know, lo and behold, I'm apprenticing somebody, and then, you know, several people over the course. And that just keeps happening. And I don't know everything in the Bible, but I know a whole lot more, you know, than when I first started. And it all happened through this diatribo. And here's the thing, God has put some really, really good stuff in you. And he has put gifts and abilities and interests and capabilities that you are meant to use and impact other people for the good and for the kingdom. He really has. And we just need to intentionally determine who those few people are and come alongside them so that God can work in and through us to begin to rub off on them, to diatribo. But here's another objection that I'm sure is kind of floating around in some of our heads. Some of us are thinking, well, John, that's nice, and I do know a little bit about the Bible, but I just don't have any time. I couldn't possibly add another thing to my schedule. And I'm right there with you, okay? I've got a lot going on. But here's the thing when it comes to diatribo, to rubbing off. It doesn't require that we add anything else on top of our already busy schedules. We just sort of need to layer it on top of what we're already doing. So let me just give you a few examples. So workplace, let's just say that there are a few people that you would like to rub off on in the workplace. So two examples. Number one, chances are everybody eats lunch. Okay. All right. So instead of, you know, eating alone in your cubicle or maybe with the whole work crew, pick one person that you think might be far from God. Okay. And then you could begin to rub off on them. So just have lunch with them one day a week, just the two of you, and hear their story, what's going on in their lives. You know, maybe you could even start to pray for them. You know, they're going to open up, and you're going to begin to rub off on them. Or maybe you're in a leadership position. So invite somebody to do something that you're doing or to go someplace that you're going. I'll often invite staff members. I say, hey, you know, I'm going to this conference or I'm going to do this coaching thing. Like, I'd like you to come with me. And usually just the time in the car there and back is a great opportunity for me to kind of, you know, rub off on some of my coworkers. Or let's just say that you're a parent and your apprentices are riding in the back seat of your car. That's probably many of us, right? So here's what I would encourage you. Make the car time a no screen zone. And just intentionally have conversations with those apprentices in the back seat. Or find an age-appropriate activity. So you're going about your day, whatever it might be. Could even be folding laundry, all right? It could be a repair around the house, whatever it is. And just invite them. I know it's going to take patience, and I know it's going to take longer, but invite them to come alongside, and you'll begin to rub off on those apprentices. Or if you feel called to be a hero maker in the life of a student or a young adult, well, here's a suggestion. Invite that person to have dinner with your family one day a week. And naturally, around the dinner table, you know, you're going to begin to rub off on them. Or invite them to be a part of your Saturday errands, you know. And of course, be sure to stop at Starbucks and pick up the tab, okay? But, you know, you're going to rub off. I mean, that's the way it is. Being a hero maker doesn't have to be about adding all this stuff on top of our already busy lives. It's just about overlapping, you know, and inviting people to be a part of what we're already doing. And if we're intentional about that, God will use that. And we will begin to rub off and make apprentices of Jesus. That's how it works. Now, here at Community, if we were to be a little bit more formal about this, especially in a ministry role, when we apprentice somebody to be a leader or a contributor or something like that, we have a five-step process that we use here, and it's called the five steps of apprenticeship. But I need a volunteer to join me on stage. It's a non-speaking part, okay? You just need to stand here and look good. And I already know who I want to ask up. So I want to ask Rolly. And Rolly, if you would come up. And Rolly, come on up to the stage. I know you were sitting over there. And welcome Rolly, by the way. Rolly is a pastor with our partnership in the Philippines. And so he's part of Philippine Frontline Ministries. Let's welcome him to the stage. Rolly hosted my last trip, and he was our tour guide. You're going to just stand here in the spotlight. And I do, you know, after service, I want you to come and talk to this guy because he is a hero maker. I mean, big time. The amount of stuff that God is doing in and through you and your team is just extraordinary and exponential. And they have a phrase there, be one, make one, don't you? All right, you weren't supposed to talk. But anyway, all right, be one, make one. All right, so Rolly here is, I'm a Kid City leader, okay? And I just asked you to be my apprentice, so thank you for saying yes. Let's give him a round of applause for that. Now, I'm going to really simplify this, but Kid City leaders, all right, you understand the gist of this, okay? So I'm going to simplify this, but there's five steps to this apprenticeship of Jesus, okay? So first step is, many of us know this, right? I do. Rolly watches, and we talk. And so, all right, there's a Bible story that I'm going to lead. There are some discussion questions that I'm going to lead. And then there's prayer time that I'm going to lead and facilitate. Okay, that's how that's going to work. And then you're going to watch all of that. And then we're going to talk. And we're going to say, hey, how did that go? What could I have done better? You know, what could we do differently? What's going on in your life? So on and so forth. Okay, that's how that works. All right, and we do that for several weeks, maybe longer. And then we get to step two. And step two is I do, Rolly helps, and then we talk. So you're going to get the Bible story, okay? I'm going to do the discussion questions, and I'm going to do the prayer time. And then afterwards, we're going to talk. The kids are going to leave. Hey, what worked well? What could we have done different? What's going on in your life? How's your wife? Blah, 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 all that stuff, right? That's what we do. And then we get to step three, okay? And that's I help, Rolly you do, I should say. I help, and we talk. So you are going to now have those two things there. You're going to do the discussion. You're going to do the Bible story, and I'm going to lead the prayer time. I'm going to help with that. And then he and I are going to talk, and that's going to go on for several weeks. And then we get to step four, and step four is, Rolly, you do. You're graduating. He's going to lead everything. You get it all. You get the prayer time. You get the discussion questions. You get the Bible story. And you know what I do? I just sit back, watch and beam with pride as Rolly is just doing this phenomenal job. And then we talk. We talk about how well, and we also talk about, okay, Rolly, you're ready to lead now on your own, but there's one more important step, isn't there? Yeah. In order for Rolly to lead, and in order for this Jesus mission to move forward, Rolly is going to do, and he's going to invite somebody else to watch. And if he doesn't do that, the whole Jesus mission comes to a halt right there. So he is going to invite somebody else. So let's give Rolly a round of applause. And I want to encourage you to talk to him afterwards. All right, good job. Very, very good. And just imagine for a minute what Fibonacci could do with the Great Commission. Okay, just think about this. Let's say there's 10,000 Christ followers across all of our locations. There's more than that, but let's just say for round numbers, there's 10,000. And let's just say that all 10,000 of us made a point of saying, in the next 12 months, each and every one of us is going to identify one person that we are going to rub off on and to make an apprentice of Jesus. And then it's our desire that that one person will become a hero maker as well. But let's just accommodate for some bumps in the road. And let's just say that only half of the people that we pour into will be hero makers. They're all going to say yes to Jesus, of course, but only half are going to go on and pour into somebody else. All right, if we gave those parameters to Fibonacci, here's how this would work out. After 1 year, we'd have 15,000 Christ followers here at Community. After 2 years, we would have 22,500. After 5 years of pouring in and only half of them becoming hero makers, we'd have 76,000. After 10 years, we'd have 575,000 Christ followers. Fast forward another 7 years, just 17 years. You know how many Christ followers we have? 9,850,000. And that number is very specific. And do you know why? Because that is the estimated population of the greater Chicagoland area and all the suburbs. The Great Commission would be fulfilled if all of us would just do that with one person and only half of them went on to become hero makers. And you know what happens now? Because the Great Commission is fulfilled in the Chicagoland area, we have to move. Not to the Philippines, because they've already got that covered. We're going to go to another country, or we're going to go to another state so that we can continue to move this mission forward. And that's the Great Commission. And that's what Jesus has called each and every one of us to. But it requires that we are going to spend time and rub off on that other person, that they become an apprentice of Jesus. So to conclude, what I'd like everybody to do is just stand up right where you're at. And we're going to say a prayer out loud and together. All right? And I'm going to put this prayer up on the screen. And I want you to take your hand and put it over your heart just like this. And we're going to say this together out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. Lord, transform my life. Help me to live like you live and to realize that I'm called not to be a hero, but a hero maker. Amen.